14 years' transportation at least, Sharp said in a thoughtful way.
Ah, yes. 14 years in Australia. That sounds about right.
Australia? Egger said in a hushed voice.
Well, I should think, Aramby said calmly. Boating's the thing in a case like this.
Egger was silent.
Aramby knew that although transportation was popularly portrayed as a much-feared punishment, the criminals themselves viewed banishment to Australia with equanimity or even pleasant expectation. Many villains suspected that Australia was agreeable, and to do the kangaroo hunts was unquestionably preferable to a long stretch in an English prison. Indeed, at this time, Sydney, in New South Wales, was a thriving, handsome seaport of 30,000. In addition, it was a place where personal history is at a discount, and good memories and inquisitive minds are particularly disliked. And if it had its brutal side, butchers were fond of plucking poultry while it was still alive, it was also pleasant, with gaslit streets, elegant mansions, bejewelled women, and social pretensions of its own. A man like Egger could view transportation as, at the very least, a mixed blessing. But Egger was greatly agitated. Plainly, he did not want to leave England. Seeing this, Aramby was encouraged. He stood.
That will be all for now, he said. If in the next day or so you feel that you have something you wish to tell me, just inform the guards at Newgate.
Egger was ushered out of the room. Aramby sat back at his desk. Sharp came over.
What were you reading? He asked.
Aramby picked up the sheet of paper from his desk.
A notification from the Buildings Committee, he said, to the effect that carriages are no longer to be parked in the courtyard.
After 3 days, Egger informed the Newgate guards that he would like another audience with Mr. Aramby. On November the 13th, Egger told Aramby everything he knew about the robbery, in exchange for the promise of lenient treatment and the vague possibility that one of the institutions involved, the bank or the railway or even the government itself, might see fit to present him with a stipend from the still outstanding offers of reward for information. Egger did not know where the money was kept. He said that Pierce had been paying him a monthly stipend in paper currency. The criminals had previously agreed that they would divide the profits 2 years after the crime, in May of the following year, 1857. Egger did, however, know the location of Pierce's house. On the night of November the 13th, the forces of the Yard surrounded the mansion of Edward Pierce, or John Sims, and entered it with Barkers at the ready. But the owner was not at home. The frightened servants explained that he had left town to attend the PR spectacle the following day in Manchester.